In a way, aren't we all Spartacus?
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
It's the intro that says, no more mucking around. It's time for the serious segment of the show.
Yo, welcome aboard.
How's it?
Have you been watching movies?
I have been watching movies.
Okay.
I have.
Big fancy flash ones? Big fancy brand new flash ones?
A little bit of that. Although, you know, it seems like the long hoped for Christopher Nolan Tenet effect of kind of kickstarting everything back into, you know, kind of full steam ahead in cinemas hasn't really worked the way that he would have hoped. It sort of seems funny talking about numbers of films. Like, obviously, it's a business and they, need to earn certain amounts of money so they can spend certain amounts of money and their shareholders can reap the benefits of certain amounts of money. But
okay, so it's a bit of business.
But it's a bit sort of arbitrary. But anyway, Tenet has hit $200 million worldwide. But I think the kind of relevant part of that figure is that only 10% of that money is from the US.
Wow.
Which, I've got to say, I kind of think good on you, the US, for not going out en masse your country is being ravaged by virus.
And each other.
And each other. A recent survey of their moviegoers suggested that 51% of people are still a bit uncomfortable about going to cinemas. Kind of feels a bit right when...
Is that popcorn price, though? Or?
Well, that's a good question. We need the before and after. So a lot of work to do there. It's meant that dates keep moving around. So Hungary, like, I know you were champing at the bit for the new Wonder Woman film, Wonder Woman 1984. That's just
Is it the same Wonder Woman?
It is the same Wonder Woman. But it has moved its time period to, well, it's in the title, 1984.
Is that DC? DC kind of do a little comeuppance, eh? I feel like what with Marvel kind of petering out there with those absolute shockers recently that everyone seemed to think were mint, I feel like DC might rise on back.
I liked the way that the Marvel stuff kind of wrapped up, but it was as that Avengers doubleheader kind of wrapped up, I kind of thought, do I want to go back and see something in 3 months' time? And one of the effects of these kind of things being knocked out of the schedule is that I've kind of enjoyed not having to go to a superhero movie every couple of months.
Right,
It's felt kind of...
Yeah, cluttering up the bus as well, on the back of the bus with your fucking giant Hulk shit. Get out of it. I don't need that. I'm trying to relax.
It's probably helped... I'm not going to talk about fast food promotions on air. That seems a bit silly.
Are you going to talk about Taco Bell?
It's left a bit of space in the fast food ecosystem for other promotions that aren't so movie related. And it also has meant that some films that might not, normally compete for top spot in the New Zealand box office, get a chance to get a lot of attention. And case in point this week is Savage, which opened last week. This is a New Zealand gang drama that is it kind of looks grueling. Like, all the key art for it has a guy with Pawniki tattooed across his face. There's a lot of patched up dudes in the stills. And it is the story of how someone evolved into a life as a sergeant at arms gang enforcer in the 80s.
Right. Oh, so it's kind of a true-ish.
Yeah, it's a first time film by writer director Sam Kelly.
How gnarly is it?
Come back to the gnarliness in just a sec. I don't think he has this in his background himself, but is kind of only one or two steps removed from this kind of lifestyle. Certainly it has a ring of authenticity to it, even if it is completely fictional.
Right.
What's particularly interesting with this film is it takes in the period in the 1960s where a kid gets kicked off his kind of, well, idyllic on paper life on a farm. Pākehā boy who's asshole dad is a real grim guy, but also then when his kid gets in trouble with the law is embarrassed and like ships him off to Borstal, is very happy for him to go to a boys' home,
right,
which is real bad.
Okay, then
10 years later we see him, he's on the streets of Wellington and urban gang culture is kind of starting to coalesce around that time. Also not too great. And then 10 years later, it's the 80s and it's the patched up culture. It's just as gangs are starting to, you know, kind of really get into the fortified compound, starting to really kind of disassociate from the rest of society. But, you know, sort of pre your pre your heavy drug years.
How's the production? Are there heaps of cool old cars and stuff like that?
Yeah, there are some cool old cars. There are some good wardrobe.
Mm. I've heard a lot of comparisons, obviously, to Once Warriors.
Yeah, and it's just, this is a good time to get into the gnarliness, really.
Yeah,
There's some gnarliness within the first couple of minutes. We see the adult version of this kid, Danny, who's now taken on the name Damage, doing some of what an enforcer does, which is inflict some pain on a gang member. But one of the interesting things about the film is it doesn't really explore too much what happens with the gang outside their own family structure. It's very much about kind of what's happening inside their own ecosystem.
Relative to damage.
And also trying to really, you know, draw some parallels with this kid who yanked away from his family at a very young age, like why he stays in the gang system for such a long time and what it provides him. So it's kind of more of an emotional gruelingness than there is really, really ultra rough as guts. It is kind of weird watching a gang movie, especially a New Zealand set one, that doesn't address things like the violence that they inflict on everyday people or people that come into their orbit, or, you know, the things that they actually do to make their money that are socially destructive.
Mm.
But it's still a pretty compelling watch, and I recommend it.
Cool. Okay. Check that out. Savage. Did anyone catch Toke? Troy Kingy's little flick that came out?
I haven't had a nudge on that yet, but that's on the short list.
Checking that out.
I did get a look at a sort of smaller film that's opening tomorrow called Becky. This is pretty grim little picture. It's a good vibes segment today.
I'm kind of proud of Moorcock for having a go at a gnarly role. You know what I mean?
Yes. So this is sort of one of those, hey, I do comedy, but I can also get swastikas tattooed on the back. Well, I can get fake swastikas tattooed. No, I can get real swastikas fake tattooed on the back of my head. This is Kevin James from Moorcock, from Paul Blart and Moorcock. You know, does the grown-ups movies. He's Adam Sandler, pal. But here he is a really vicious white supremacist who basically kind of like just tortures a family to get something that he's after that's stashed in their house. It's a very simple premise. He doesn't count on a teenage girl who's got some issues that she then focuses into extreme violence and kills some Nazis, which is fucking great, really. I mean, the movie's okay. The killing of the Nazis is always welcome.
Yeah, you know, you can't really go wrong there. Someone just texted in Dune 2020. I actually watched a shot-for-shot little segment of 2020 Dune with 80s Dune. I tell you what, 80s Dune stood up pretty good, man.
It's funny, eh? I watched that new trailer going, oh, this looks so sweet. It's such a distinctive vision of this film.
Mm.
And then I also watched the side-by-side one and went,
wow.
Oh, yeah. It's hitting the marks. I'm excited for this film, though. It's going to be a goodie, I reckon.
Is it made by Spiritual Warriors, though?
Is it Battlefield Earth 2? Is it?
No, didn't look. Wasn't the guy the OG writer of Dune when he wanted to make the movie and that never got made? Could have been Star Wars kind of stuff, like the legacy, but never got made, right? This is the whole saga of Dune, right? His whole thing was like, everybody must be a spiritual warrior.
Yes, yes.
Like,
so there, like, what the fuck? There is that ill-fated Alejandro Jodorowsky version, which you can see recounted in the doco Jodorowsky's Dune, which is well worth a watch. He's watched the trailer. He's had some feedback on it. And I think it's basically his feedback was to paraphrase, it looks well done but very predictable. So I think if you're familiar with Jodorowsky's Dune, you will understand what he probably thinks about all mainstream films.
Fair enough.
Very predictable. Really quickly, an older recommendation to enjoy at home that I watched last night, which, look, let's face it, it's not the best film in the world, but I had a really good time watching The Long Kiss Goodnight, which has just arrived on Netflix.
You're going to say Forrest Gump.
I mean, that is the best.
It's fucking great for the whole family, isn't it?
Long Kiss Goodnight's a really great late 90s action thriller. Stars Gina Davis and Samuel L. Jackson, aka the most successful actor in history. If you add up the box office total of all of his films...
Not Tom Hanks?
It's Samuel L. Jackson.
I feel good about that.
He's got some big franchise films.
He's kind of done it all, too. He's done The Rad and he's done the fucking Bit Naff. You know what I mean? He's just done it all.
Sure has. This is
been God like three times.
The Long Kiss Goodnight is his favorite movie of his own to watch. So,
oh wow, okay.
Listen to Samuel L. Jackson and watch this Shane Black written action thriller that, you know, sometimes you just want to watch a 3.5-star movie.
I hope Samuel hears this, by the way. Just nuts off at home. Anyway, thanks, mate. Though we better go. We've got the news coming up.
Just quickly, I'm thinking of ending things. Netflix, you've had a chance to digest this, so have I.
That's hard. Three times I watched it in like a dream state myself, and it's just a totally cooked movie. Good luck, everyone out there, if you're trying to watch that movie.
Yeah, this is Charlie Kaufman's new film. It arrived on Netflix a couple of weeks ago.
It was buzzy, bro.
It's been confusing people left, right, and center.
What was it called? I keep forgetting the name.
I'm thinking of ending things.
Check it out if you've got a bit of time, yeah. Everyone. There's some.
Yeah. I think it's probably not, if you're going to watch the movie, say, in your living room with your whole flat, this is not the film to bring to the discussion of what should we watch tonight.
Yeah.
This is possibly something to...
It's like trying to put BFM on the radio at work sometimes.
Well, depends where you work.
It can be good and it just goes crazy and then you get embarrassed.
You're not responsible. You're only responsible for these few hours, mate.
Yeah, no, check it out, though. It's a good watch. It's a good watch.
Cautious recommendation.
I'm just concurring.
Yeah, good.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.